do have time to do this sermon. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me. Praise you, Jesus, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Have you got it? Verse 17, pray without ceasing. We've been talking in here about learning to pray in deeper levels of intercession. Amen. And we've been talking about how sometimes that assignment to pray without ceasing can become a burden. When I first got saved, actually for years after I was saved, I would think I had to pray all the time. I just had to pray all the time. And every need that arose that I ever recognized, I had to pray about that. I had to pray for, legislation. I had to pray for the politicians. I had to pray for family. I had to pray for church members. I had to pray for the birds that fly in the sky, and had to pray for the trees and whatever else, I was in Kansas here a few weeks ago, and my mother said there's a Chinese cedar disease that's come to America, and it's killing all the cedars. You go through Kansas, cedars are dead everywhere. Cedars in her yard, cedars out, it's killing the cedars. I need to pray about that one. I got the cedar trees. I got to lay them. All these needs that are out there. Wars erupting all over the planet. Amen. And you feel this pressure. I have to pray for all this. What we've been talking about here on Sunday mornings is you don't have to pray for every need. You have to pray for your assignments. And sometimes the enemy will show us all these needs and get us bogged down with oppression or anxiety over, these things we need to pray for. And God says, no, I got one thing I really need you focused on praying for. God says, I have a dream I need the church to pray for. Pray forth my glory. What we've been talking about is we can pray forth the glory fixes everything else. Oh, I'm telling you what, Romans chapter 8 talks about all of creation groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, when Adam sinned, this earth came under a curse, and ever since that time, the earth's been falling into deeper and deeper levels of corrosion, corruption, destruction, decay, and creation itself is crying out for the church to rise up and pray in God's glory, to manifest His glory. Because the glory has the ability to undo the curse. The glory will reverse the curse. It'll release the creation from the bondage of corruption, Romans chapter 8 says. And so if we can just get the glory manifested, we won't have to worry about all the little fires that are arising. Amen. It's going to fix so much of the little battles that we're involved in. And those you are in, you just won't care because you're in the glory. Amen. No tears in the glory. Hallelujah. And so, I believe as end-time intercessors, end-time church members, we're assigned to pray in God's desire. We find out last week that God wants to fulfill every desire we have. He wants to fulfill your dreams. Of course, He wants to be the one to inspire those dreams. If your dream's not in alignment with the will of God or with the Word of God, then God is not going to want to fulfill that dream. Do you follow me? I mean, if you want somebody else's spouse, God's not after fulfilling that dream. If you're after somebody else's house and they're a Christian, God's not into fulfilling that dream. Are you following me? But if you'll get in God's presence, if you'll learn to commune with Him, He will give you His assigned dreams. Oh, glory to God. And He wants to meet them. But He has a dream as well. He wants His church to carry His glory. Amen? See, all I want my wife to look good. It's pretty easy for her. Can I get something on that one? Amen. I'll go like, I don't make up for everything else you said in the past. I want her to look good. I want her to show off my ability to bless her and to provide for her. Amen. I don't want my wife looking around, like she's been beat up and dragged through the trash, stressed out, beat down. I want her to carry herself like she's a queen. Amen. a princess. That's what I call her at home. She's my princess. And what I sometimes call her. I don't want her dragging in here like, it's just so hard to be the jack. It's just so hard to be the jack. And God feels the same way about His church. He wants His glory to get on His people so people can see, this is how I treat those I'm in covenant with. This is how I bless those that have come into communion with me. Amen? So I believe in the end times, as we were kind of indicating earlier, those that give way to the curse, they're going to see the effects of the curse bring them to an image of Satan's ability to bless. See, right now, there's a whole lot of people who believe Satan can bless better than God. Why do the rich prosper? Why are the rich doing so well? Why are the evil, why are the evil prospering is really what I mean to say. And why are the rich prospering? That's kind of repetitive. Why are the evil prospering? And they look at the church and they think, who wants to join that? And God says, no. Wrong image has been applied. I need my people to rise up in my glory, and my glory alone will strip the wealth from the wicked. It'll bring it to my people, and they will demonstrate I am the God that adorns my bride with goodness. Amen? So God has a dream for us to manifest His glory. And He's saying, now pray forth my glory. You know, the vision we had a few years ago that I had of the railroad tracks going into the cloud of glory in the parking lot. God said, you're on track to go into the glory. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in the little battles. Stay focused on praying like you're doing now for the glory. When we pray all night on Friday nights, we will pray for individual needs. You know, I'm sure you will. You'll pray for stuff going on in your life and stuff, little stuff in the church. But I'm primarily saying, God, I thank you for birthing forth your glory in this city. I thank you for taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. I thank you, Lord God, for developing us to release the glory through us, because you said we're the ones to arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. So we pray forth the glory of God, because that's what's going to fix everything. That's what's going to accomplish God's plans. And not only that, that's what's going to bring in the harvest. The glory of God is a harvest magnet. I believe the glory of God, as you've heard before, is the supernatural agape love of God that has become so concentrated it spills over into the tangible, physical realm. And people, when they come in contact with the glory, they actually come in contact with a concentrated love of God. And you cannot come in contact with the love of God and not be drawn by it. Amen. So if we manifest the glory, and I know this sounds crazy to the average Christian. What is he talking about? I'm just trying to get my bills paid. I'm just trying to, get through life. I'm telling you, God's got a higher call. He wants your bills paid. He wants you healthy. He wants your family blessed. He wants your marriage blessed. He wants your, all your needs met. But really, scripturally, it talks about your needs being met as a basic fulfillment. Thank you. As a basic fulfillment of Scripture. He says God supplies all. He gives the birds the food to eat. Why are you fearing about food and clothing and shelter? I'm going to take care of that. He's got a higher call to go beyond just survival, and that's to manifest Him on this earth. The fullness of the image of the stature of Christ Jesus manifested in our lives. We're called to manifest the glory of God supernaturally. Amen. What an opportunity that we have. And so God's saying, bring forth the glory and it will fix everything else. So what we've been talking about is learning to pray tops down. Is instead of getting focused on praying every little need you see, oh Lord, this hangnail I got, oh Lord, everybody, I pray for the hangnails all over the earth. Amen. Not to mention, let's stop Mr. Tooth Decay. Just Father, just stamp out tooth decay. And I pray, that Susie and Linda are all delivered from tooth decay, and Johnny and Mark, they're delivered from tooth decay. And you can get bogged down in that stuff. I know that's a ludicrous example, but that's how we pray many times. It's whatever pops in our head that we think, we need to pray for. And God says, just take time to speak forth the glory of God. Amen. And if you don't know what to pray, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Because then you're always praying in the perfect will of God. Amen? And so, pray from a tops-down standpoint. Now I want to go through scriptures and look at some examples where we're told to pray tops-down, or we see the men of God praying in a tops-down fashion. Amen? Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Do I want to go there yet? Yeah, let's go there anyway. Habakkuk chapter 2. No. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is one of the best examples of praying in the glory we have anyway. Praise you, Jesus. Everybody in here probably has Habakkuk chapter 2 memorized anyway, right? John chapter 17, let's go to verse number 20. He says, neither, this is Jesus. This is Jesus' last prayer we have record of any high level. Amen? This is the last thing he prayed before he marched to the cross. Or at least till he went to the garden. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus says, I pray these people become united as one. Amen. Talking about the church. Let the church be unified in covenant. And he goes on and he says that the world may know that you've sent me. In other words, something happens. Something supernatural is going to happen when the church becomes united. That's going to draw in the harvest. And then he says, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Do you guys believe the word? This is Jesus praying. He's talking about this glory manifesting. And he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now here we see the uniting power of the glory of God. Because the glory is concentrated love. When the church gets anointed with glory, that love will attract us together. It will unite us. Amen. And I might say, and produce even more glory. Amen. He says, even as we are one, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect. Oh, glory to God. That word perfect means finished or mature. That they may finish their course. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and as love them as thou hast loved me. Here's the evidence that the glory of God is concentrated love. He says, when the glory comes up, everybody will know of God's love. And the harvest will come in. Verse 26. And I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus prayed forth his last prayer over the disciples that we have record of. He prayed forth unification under the glory of God. See, I pray that, Father, fuse us together. Let your love come upon us. Let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith, that we're rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend together with all saints what is the width, breadth, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ as passes knowledge. Amen? Praying the love of God on the church, because the love of God will morph, it will develop into the glory. Let us learn to walk in the love of God. Let that glory come forth from our lives, because that's what's going to draw in the harvest. And so we pray that from a tops-down fashion. You guys understand what I'm saying when I say tops-down? You're going from the target and coming down versus trying to fix everything at the bottom and go up. Scripture says the little foxes spoil the vine. The enemy is an expert at raising up fires around you to keep you so busy putting out fires, you never get to the main goal. And that's really what he's done to the church for the past 2,000 years. We've been so busy trying to put out the fires, we can't shield ourselves or put up barriers to ignore those little things, or you just trust them to God and focus on the big picture. Praying in the anointing of God. Praying in the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Again, the little challenges in life become distractions to keep you from God's real plan. Amen. And that's for us to come together as a covenant body and pray in the love and glory of God so that the harvest comes forth. So when God told me there was a cloud of glory in the parking lot in this vision I had a few years back, I saw little fires all out to the side. I'm on the railroad tracks. Now, railroad tracks, a train doesn't go except where the tracks go. Do you follow me? A train gets off track, it's finished. And on that vision, I saw all these little fires all over to the side. And God says, you're on track to go to the glory. Don't get distracted. In other words, I knew He was saying, don't look at the little fires. Well, this person said this about you. This person doesn't like your church. This person doesn't agree with what you're preaching. This person doesn't agree with how you're running the church. You know, this person's having a trouble over here. This is going on in their life. Father, bring forth the glory. Bring forth the power of God and fix everything. That doesn't mean I ignore the other things. I just don't get focused on them. Amen. I have people come in here almost on a daily basis. They'll come in and something about a Christian bookstore. And we have the only Christian bookstore right now in Georgetown, you know, that's open to the public. And everybody comes in and says, you're the pastor? Can you put me on your prayer list? Can you pray for me? Like, everybody comes in, I've got 4 hours, just lay on my face over their knee. Oh, yeah, yeah, hang on. I'm going to my office now. I'm going to lay on my face 4 hours for your knee. I just say, okay, let's pray. Grab my hand. Let's pray it right now. We pray. I'm done. I prayed over that one. Are you following me? We released our authority. Now, Father, send forth your glory. Amen. Bring us to the next level. Give us the word we need to be promoted in your system, in your kingdom. Otherwise, I one time considered putting up a bulletin board with everybody's prayer needs. But we'll never get anywhere. I don't know how many people's pets I'm asked to pray for. Now, praise God for Tabby. You follow me? But I'm not laying on my face for 4 hours for Tabby. We'll pray for Tabby. We'll go on. Amen. Can you put Tabby on your prayer list? No. We have a higher level of assignment. Amen. God said He'll take care of the sparrows. He'll take care of the cats too that eat the sparrows. Let's move on in this thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now here Paul is instructing Timothy, amen? In verse number 1 he tells Timothy, he says, I exalt therefore that first of all, first on your list, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, let me stop right there for just a second. For all men. So, okay. There are, 6 billion people on the planet right now? Let's write all the names down. Father, right now I lift up Aaron Aardvark to you. Just put them alphabetically, amen. Aaron Aardvark the second, Aaron Aardvark, you're just going to list all 6 million people. I pray for all of them. You can't do that. So how do you pray for all men? Father, I pray right now for all men. That you open their eyes to come up to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you pray over mankind. Pray as a whole. Don't have to name each one. See, you can also do that for your family. Father, just pray all my house is saved, my family. And whatever your definition of family is, mine includes my cousins, second cousins, their spouses, their kids. Father, I pray for my family right now. They all get saved. Bring them divine appointments. And then if God puts you in your heart to pray for one specifically or more than one specifically, pray it. But well, a lot of times we have them all written down. I pray for Uncle John, Uncle Jim, Aunt Susie. You know, and you got to spend at least 5 minutes on each one, right? Takes you 3 hours to pray for your family members. Just pray family. Because notice in John 17, Jesus didn't say, Father, I pray for these. I pray for Peter. I pray for John. I pray for James. I even pray for Judas. I pray, you know. He didn't name them each. He just prayed as a whole. And then he says, and all that will believe. He prayed. See, you transform it from trying to cover all the detail to a top-down fashion. You follow me? Pray the big picture. Pray the overall. And then he says, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. Who would have all men to be saved? He says, pray for all men, and he says, and pray for kings and all that are in authority. So pray for the president. Amen. Pray his eyes are open to truth. Amen. Pray, men, you know, the leaders are set free from darkness. Pray that godly men are put in authority. Pray that godly men are put in authority. And he says, pray for kings and all that are in authority. So, Father, I pray for Congress. I pray for the Supreme Court. I pray for, you know, our state representative. Just state it like that. Or just all in authority. But all in authority doesn't include just politicians. Father, I pray for the pastors. I pray for the apostles. I pray for your leaders in the church worldwide, Lord God, that they come together in agreement for the direction you take the church. Let them see the birthing of your glory. What it tops down prayer. This is what God tells us to do. Amen. You don't have to list each one. And don't get stuck, you know, praying major time for the little things. Father, right now I pray for our coffee maker. I pray you have angels going and fix that thing. It doesn't overflow anymore. And Father, I'm going to lay on my face for 6 hours till you fix the coffee maker. You could take that 6 hours and go do something for somebody and get the money and buy a new coffee maker. Amen. I hope you follow what I'm trying to get at. You know, last week I spent some time trying to get across the point. Don't let the prayer assignment become a burden. Let it be an opportunity. And by the way, if you really believe what you prayed, it would be an opportunity. Prayer becomes a burden when you don't think what you say comes to pass. So now you think you got to say it 20 times. Amen. Or 50 times. Well, I don't think I prayed that one enough. Now, there's times you pray till you get a release. You're in intercession over something or somebody. You pray till you feel that assignment lift and you go on. You know, it is finished established within you. But for supplications, amen, for your prayers for all in authority, you're probably not going to pray till you get a release that all our kings and those in authority do the right thing. Amen. It's a continual prayer that's going to go forth. Amen. So you pray it, you bring it forth, and you go on, and you believe that what you've spoken has had impact. It's moved the hand of God in that situation. Romans chapter 10. About missed one here. And again, praying in tongues covers it all. I really believe one of the highest levels that you can pray in is just to pray in tongues till you get your prayer assignment. You pray in tongues till you get an interpretation within you that this is what you need to pray. And then you speak that up because, see, here's the thing, and I'm getting ahead of myself in this series, but intercession, just like any prayer, needs to have faith connected to it to be productive. If you don't believe what you're saying is going to come to pass, then it's not producing. It's just vain repetition. You must believe the things you say will come to pass. And faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you can pray in tongues till you know you've got an assignment, and you speak out that assignment, you know God gave that to you, then you know whatever He put in you, as you speak, it's going to come to pass. faith connection is made, and you know you had that victory. Amen. So pray till God brings something to you, and then you pray it out until you know you get that release, and now you know you've accomplished that prayer assignment. And it's not your job to pray every need on the planet. God's got, 6 billion other people besides you He can use to intercede. God's not going to lose track of who needs what and who He can use to pray. So pray your assignment. Pray what God bursts out from your spirit. Amen? And be satisfied there. And then it says here, we just read a while ago, I'm kind of jumping back to where we were in 1 Timothy. He says that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. If I'm afraid I didn't pray, 47 hours that day, if I'm concerned I let God down because, I watched a TV show or, read a book that wasn't the Bible or, I had a conversation with somebody that wasn't about Scripture, although why would you want to? That somehow you let God down, now you're walking around in fear that God's upset at you, you're not living a quiet and peaceable life. That assignment to pray without ceasing doesn't mean if you're not praying, that you should be ashamed. I want you free from the burden of feeling like you weren't spiritual enough. Amen. I want you to see prayer as an opportunity, not as a job. There's only one position I know of that is on full-time job assignment is not allowed to stop. And that's a husband serving the wife. As we said, the list never ends. Amen. I'm repeating this because I'm trying to get this message through to some people. I came in the house the other day and she says, we need new cabinets. We need new flooring. Oh, a new kitchen. We need a new house. I'm going, I better move off of that one. She didn't say that. I'm just stretching it a bit. Amen. The non-ending list should not include that assignment to prayer that you've never prayed enough. And I tell you what, I'm a prayer. I've been a prayer since I've been saved. I've been an intercessor for, years and years. And still, that attack would come and say, you didn't intercede enough. Amen. I want us free from that burden. I want you to pray. I want you to pray like never before. But I want it to be because you recognize you have an opportunity to bring change through prayer, and you do it out of a heart of gratitude to God that He opened the heavens to you that you can bring forth these petitions. Amen. I believe intercession should be one of the most delightful times of your day, of your week, of your month. Amen. The opportunity to go before God and see things change on the earth. I had an amazing thing happen through intercession. And really, my wife didn't say that. I was joking. Amen. She did say something about flooring and shifts in the kitchen, but I painted the home with a picture with it. Friday, I took time and I put new stain down on my deck. I've got a deck going around in the backyard. And it's fairly good size. And I took a few hours and I put new stain down. And it says not to get rained on for 24 hours. And checked the weather report and they were saying rain. 100% chance of rain, like 1 in the morning, Friday night during prayer. So I pulled out. Now, you may think this is crazy, but I watched it happen. Well, it's just a coincidence. Listen to me. I opened my weather map on my iPad. It showed a front going from way up in Indiana, clear down to Tennessee, a huge front of storms moving west to east, a line sweeping across Kentucky. And I said, God, that's going to get my stain wet. And I'm asking you to do something. I speak that storm splits and goes around Frankfort. Goes around Frankfort. A little sprinkle's no big deal, but a pouring rain on that stain could cause, you know, to break down. I said, I just speak it splits. And I looked and I thought, that's impossible. That thing is too big, too wide. You know, who do you think? I heard all those voices. I said, in Jesus' name, that storm splits. And we went back to praying, just doing our intercession. I checked an hour, hour and a half later and looked at the map and I couldn't believe, I believed it. Arabasotoshi. The storm had split one spot and went around Frankfort. Went right there. And my stain was fine. Praise God. I think it went around Georgetown for the most part too. Didn't we get the storm, did we? Little sprinkle, maybe a little. Went around us. That's the authority we have. Amen. If we'll just believe. Now, my faith was wavering a bit, but I stood on it. Praise God. No, it storm splits. And I've seen that happen more than one time. In fact, I've seen rain altered. When years ago we were building a house for Apostle Callahan. And I had ordered a bunch of material. I was overseeing the construction and we had it under roof, but nothing in the house was built. And I'd ordered a bunch of material and they dropped it off right in caught the yard in the mud pile, you know, beside the house. And had to get under roof. And here came a rainstorm. Oh, Lord God. Don't lose anybody with this one. And here came a rainstorm. I watched the rain coming. You ever watch rain coming at you? I watched the rain coming, and he's on a 10-acre lot. And I says, Father, in Jesus' name, I got to get this material under roof before it gets rained on. It cannot get rained on. I don't remember if it was drywall or what it was. It was not allowed to get rained on. And I'm the only one there. I command this rain to not rain on this property in Jesus' name. And I spoke toward the east. I said, it didn't rain on his property. I watched the rain come up to the fence line and stop. It took me about 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get the material carried in the house. And by then the storm had passed. And I drove out the property line to the south, out his driveway, if I got the directions right, something like that. And not only had the rain stopped at the fence line on the east, it had made a right turn at the corner. And it did not rain on his property. The street was wet, but his driveway wasn't. It had actually bent around his property and gone around it. People look at me like, now you know, I know he's crazy now. I'm telling you. I heard John Avanzini give a similar testimony one time. He prayed that it wouldn't rain on a property. He couldn't let it rain on it. It was, he needed a sign from God. And it didn't, and it rained all around. It did not rain on his property. God, of infinite capability. Amen? Well, let's get back to our point. Tops-down intercession. Focus on praying for the big picture. Amen? I told you to turn to Romans chapter 10, didn't I? Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. Amen. Paul says, I pray for Israel that they might be saved. How does he do that? Father, save Israel. Let the blindness of Israel be stopped. Let them receive the knowledge of the truth, Israel, that they might be saved. We can pray the same thing. That is a tops-down prayer. That's praying for an entire nation at one time. Now again, we brought this out. A lot of people pray for the world. You don't have to name every nation. Just, Father, I pray for the world. But Paul recognized Israel as a separate segment of people. He wanted to name individual because that was his people, his nation. It was the people of God, you know, a sign from way back. And he says, I pray Israel. Quit rejecting the Messiah and they come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Pray tops down. Can I go to a few others and look at these? Mark chapter 12. Verse 1, "And Jesus began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country." Now here is a parable of really Jesus setting up the church, setting up His kingdom on earth. Amen. Well, in this case, actually, better applies to Israel. But He says He set up a hedge about it, about His vineyard. A hedge represents your prayer covering. Amen. And God maintains, through His intercessors, a prayer covering over His church. Or what He's assigned protection. Well, I believe there's actually a prayer covering over Israel right now. Amen. Most likely prayed forth by the saints. Amen. Because we're praying for Israel, right? And so that hedge acts as a protection for every member within that organization. There's a prayer covering over this church. You become a member of this church, there's a covering over your life. Amen. To the level that you are connected to the church, you tithe to the church, and you're submitted to God's leading in the church, a hedge is established around you that will protect you from a whole lot of the attacks the enemy will try to bring against you. Amen. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't be attacked. Amen. Our hedge isn't that strong yet. You will be attacked. But I believe under this hedge, you can't be taken out. Not without your will. Amen. Under this hedge, you're protected from a whole lot of the assaults the enemy will want to bring against you. In Corinth had a man that was living in major sin. He was living with his father's wife. Amen. And Paul said, kick him out of the church. Because as long as he's in the church, he's under the hedge or the covering of the church. Kick him out so he can experience the curse, so the flesh can be destroyed, that the soul might be saved. But as long as he's under the church covering, there's no curse force to drive him to repentance. Which kind of brings me to my earlier point, you know, before the service, right? Don't get in God's way. The curse is there to drive people to the kingdom. So within the church, there's a hedge established, if it's an interceding church, that guards all the people in the church. You want to stay undercover. You want to stay within the hedge. Amen. But at the same time, when I'm praying the hedge around the church, which I do every day, Father, I thank You for the hedge about the church. I speak covering over this church. I don't name all of you by name. I might name some of you if God drops you in, drops your name in me, if He shows me your face, or if I know there's a particular battle you're in, I'll probably mention you. I can assure you I will. But I just pray, Father, I thank You for the covering over the church. I thank You've raised up intercessors to pray every need that's out there, and I think no need goes unmet with prayer. And speak the hedge from a tops-down standpoint. Amen. And guess what? I'm not praying for everybody else's hedge. Father, I pray for that denominational church over there in, Lubbock, Texas. Amen. First, the only thing I could think of. Amen. You know where Lubbock is. I pray for the church, the denominational church in Lubbock, Texas, that You put a hedge. I'm not praying that. I'm praying a hedge over my church. Our church. Amen. And it produces tops-down covering, tops-down protection. So Paul prayed for Israel to be saved. Jesus says, I need a hedge around my vineyard. We are a vineyard of God. Amen. If we can get the hedge in place, if we as a church will just pray the hedge, if you guys will learn to pray the covering, just learn in your daily prayer, say, Father, I just agree with the covering right now. I speak covering intact. Father, any area that you need me to pray specifically over the covering, show it to me. And it'll stop us from having to pray the little fires to a high level. We do not know how many traps, how many assaults, how many temptations we've been saved from because we're undercover. Don't know, but there's a bunch of them. Because our intercession guards us against the average attack. You know, you get a good hedge built. I got a hedge. I have a hedge around our pool. I have a hedge across the front of our house, just a short one. I will guarantee there's no animal, there's no foxes coming through that hedge. Amen. I don't even have thorns in it. All the hedges have thorns in them. There's no animal coming through my hedge. You might get some mice to run under it. But my wife's already prayed those off the property in Jesus' name. But there's no dog going under there. No fox going under. No wild beast coming through it. And you get a tall enough, thick enough hedge, there's no lion coming through it. Amen. And so we can pray the hedge and keep people from the other little fires. Praying tops down. Are you guys getting anything from this? James chapter 5. James chapter 5, let's go to verse number 17. Elias, that's Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was just another man, it says. Just like you. Except he wasn't born again. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He wasn't made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly, or prayed a prayer is really what it says, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Here James gives us an example of how Elijah prayed. He prayed a tops-down prayer, and rain on the earth for 3.5 years. And you have problems because me being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, having the Word of God, commanded a storm front to part around my house. Elijah's got me beat by a long ways. Amen. And so, that is a tops-down prayer. Versus saying, Lord, Ahab's given me a lot of problems. Let's do something about it. Jezebel and all of her supporters, he just said, hey, let's just stop the rain. Stop the rain, it'll get everybody's attention. Amen. And for 3.5 years, there were people calling on God for rain. But the rain didn't come till the man of God with the authority released it again. Tops down intercession. Tops down prayer. Search the Scriptures, and you'll be hard-pressed to find bottoms-up prayers. You'll find men of God praying for situations and circumstances, but not in any high level. Amen? God wants us to see the big picture. He wants us focused on what He's doing, what He's calling for. See, when you pray the bottoms-up prayers, the little fire prayers, you're focused on what the enemy's doing. Not what God's doing. God's saying, quit letting him distract you. Get involved in what I'm telling you needs to be done. Find out what God has prophesied and speak the prophecies. Let's focus on God's word versus Satan's word. Let's focus on what God wants to cause to come to pass versus be all in fear and concern about what the enemy's trying to cause to come to pass. You know, when Jesus was in the boat there in Mark chapter 5, he's in the boat, all the disciples are there, he's asleep on a pillow, and a storm comes up. That was the devil trying to sink the boat. And here all these professional fishermen, they're in panic mode because they know this is one that's going to take them all out. And they go wake up Jesus. He goes, looks at the storm and goes, peace be still. Storm quits. He looks at him and says, what is with you guys? You have little faith. Amen. I believe he went back to bed. Amen. You're focused about what Mr. Pointy Tail's done, and you got the Son of God Himself on the boat. Be focused on what God is doing versus what the enemy's doing. To focus on little fires is to be of little faith. Do not believe God has a plan that He's bringing to come to pass. So just say, Father, I know You got all these little things taken care of. I'm not going to mess with them. I'm focusing on what You're doing. Amen. Satan, you're bound all around me. I'm under cover. In Jesus' name, your attack stopped. Now, Father, I pray forth Your glory right now. It's amazing in the conversations of the church, and I'm going to try to say this in a fashion nobody is, you know, offended or put off at me or afraid to even come to me. But I do a lot of counseling in the church. Rebecca does a lot of counseling in the church. And 99.9% of her counseling have to do with little fires. This is going on. This is what the devil's doing. The devil's telling me this. Devil's hitting me there. Devil's done this. Devil's that. I never, almost never have anybody come to me and say, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I believe God's bringing forth the glory, and nothing else matters but the glory. We've been trained to look the wrong direction. We've been trained to look at little imps versus the big God. Amen. We've been looking at the mountains instead of the God of the mountains. And look at the mountains, and the hills, and the ant hills, and the fire ant hills. Father, we got to stop these fire ants. Got to stop the fire ant spread right now. And the African killer bees. Stop the killer bees in Jesus' name. Just pray forth the glory. He'll take care of ants and bees. Amen. Maybe they'll just become African kindness bees under the glory. Amen. Hello, little bee. Just be glad we don't have any bullet ants. You ever seen those bullet ants on TV? A South American ant called a bullet ant. They call it a bullet ant because when it stings you, it feels like a bullet hits you. They actually use them for their rituals down there to, you know, pass in the manhood. They take these bullet ants and they take them and they put them on your skin. They glue it on and they bite you and you actually go into, like, I think, 48 or 72 hours of total, uncurable, extreme pain that ends up in hallucinations and everything. It doesn't kill you, just you're in misery for 2 or 3 days. Thank God I'm in America. Even my passes to man who was getting a driver's license versus getting a bullet ant. Praise God we don't have bullet ants. Amen. Hallelujah. I bind bullet ants in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 1. I thank God we live in America. We don't have to bind cobras. Thank you, Jesus. I think if we live in America, if there was a cobra, we can kill it. You're allowed to kill all the cobras in America you will come across. Bet they'll stop a major construction project for a spider. Did you see that? There's a major construction project in America that somebody discovered a rare spider in the construction debris nearby, and they shut down the construction because there's this rare blind spider, I think it was. A blind spider, they shut down a major multi-million dollar construction project because of the rare spider. Amen. They'll find a whole bunch of them somewhere else soon, I guarantee it. Ephesians chapter 1, Verse 15, Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now here's what Paul is praying over the saints. Amen. He says, unto all the saints. Now I believe Paul prayed over the churches he had birthed. You follow me? But also he prayed for all the saints. He says, here's how I pray for all the saints. This is tops down. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but that which is in the world to come, including Satan. You follow me? And has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Notice in that prayer, Paul didn't say, and I bind the devil here and I bind the devil there and I pray for this little problem and that little problem. He just says, I pray for all saints. They come to know what God's doing. He didn't say, I pray that they come to know everything the enemy's doing. He says, I pray they know what God is doing and they submit to what God is doing. Tops down intercession. Amen. Now, Paul does pray in other places in Scripture about different attacks. He says, I pray they may be delivered from, we may be delivered from unruly men. He prays, I pray Hymenaeus and was it, I forget the other guy, you know, that they experience the rewards of the deeds they're doing in battling against the gospel. May have the wrong names. Oh, he says, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm. The Lord reward him according to his deeds. That was a prayer. Amen. Take care of this one, God. He's causes a lot of trouble. Take care of him. So he does address different things. But when he's talking about his intercession, he's talking about primarily, I'm praying for all the saints in a tops-down fashion, what God is doing. Look at Philippians. Next book over. Philippians chapter 1. Praying for the Philippian church. He says in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge, in all judgment, that you may approve that things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." He's praying what God would have done. He's praying that they would be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. I pray with the church. I say, Father, I pray for this church that you bring everybody to a place of desiring your fullness. I pray you move them into making shifts in their life, that they're all promotable to the highest levels in your kingdom, that everyone in this church fulfills the high calling of God on their lives. Amen. I pray you set them free from every trap of the enemy, that they're covered by the blood. Whatever God directs me, are you following me? But from a tops-down fashion. There are challenges that will arise in your lives that will require extra prayer. Amen. I mean, most of the time I pray for my marriage. I just say, Father, I thank you for my marriage. I thank you my wife as a fruitful vine within my house, my children's branches about my table. I thank you my wife is stepping into all that you have for her. I'll just pray something like that. But under the right challenge, like maybe after what I said today about the kitchen, I may be 4 hours on my face for this thing. I don't know. Father, I pray she forgives me. Let her have a heart of compassion. Let her know I say boneheaded things sometimes. Let your love overflow her life for her husband in Jesus' name. Let her be a woman of compassion finally. And Lord, let... Blew it again, didn't I? Hallelujah. Compassion. Her motivational gift is compassion. Amen. 30% of all people have the motivational gift of compassion. There's seven motivational gifts, but 30% have that of compassion. She's one of them. And those of you that have to get the compassion, you just have to overlook me and forgive me because God loves me anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We have a funny, how can I say, situation in our marriage. Everybody that I try to bring clarity and direction to, she has to come up to afterwards and say, it's okay, he still loves you. Amen. I don't care what comment I make on Facebook anywhere, she comes right behind me and says, and this is what he really meant. She's always afraid I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. And everybody, she empathizes with and gets too involved in the pity party with. I'll go to them and say, now, she loves you, but I got to tell you the truth. So we balance each other. Amen. Fix it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, look, this is a good place to transition. Next week, we're going to go into the top-down prayers regarding the glory in Scripture. We're going to find it all through the Bible. God prophesied the coming glory. And then he says, concerning this, command ye me. Call upon me to do this. Amen. Speak this forth. You research intercession in Scripture, and you will find the number one thing God said to pray was His glory. It's His dream. And we're called to bring forth God's dream. Amen. Let God use you in intercession. Don't say, well, I'm not called to be an intercessor. That verse, pray without ceasing, was to everybody. Amen. We're all called to intercede to some level. Doesn't mean you have to come to all-night prayer or early morning prayer, but you can pray at home. And just start confessing the glory of God on the earth. According to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I agree with that, Jesus, and I think it comes to pass now. In my city, amen, in my household, in my family, in my life. Get in agreement with it. Get your faith locked in on it. It'll shift your life to higher levels. Praise you, Jesus. See, God's got to get us sing at higher levels. As long as we're focused on beneath, our heads will be down. But you get focused on the above, and you lift up your head. And the Scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. God calls us gates. Why? Because through us, the glory comes. Through us, intercession takes place. We are the ones that act as gateways to what takes place on the earth. Amen. And God says, okay, you as a gateway, I can't have you head down looking at the bottom. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And does anybody know the next phrase? And the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your head, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. God's got to get us looking up. Oh, amen. Praise God. Well, stand your feet with me. Let's worship God here. See how He wants to continue in this service.